You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Thursday to you. We appreciate you being here with us today. Arkansas basketball loses to Ole Miss 73-66 last night at Bud Walton Arena. We'll discuss that today. Also, the arena atmosphere, and a lot of talk about that. We'll get into that a little bit. We'll finish the show with a conversation with Mark Burns. He is the new distance coach for the Arkansas women's track and field program, former head coach at Missouri, getting back into the coaching profession, and he'll have to hit the ground running as they have a meet. Their first indoor meet of the year is next Friday at Tyson Track Center. Looking forward to having that conversation with him at the end of the show. Anthony Christensen, our basketball reporter for WholeHogSports.com, in here with me now. I don't know that it's time to panic about Arkansas basketball yet. They've lost to two top 25 teams, but there are glaring issues on this team that certainly it seems like are going to be things that hamper them throughout the season. They don't have a post presence, outside of Jonas Adu, and then with him, it just kind of depends on the night what mm-hmm. you're going to get out of him. It seems like they're getting beat off the bounce a lot defensively. I think that's a concern. Free throw shooting is a concern. Three-point shooting has been a concern since the beginning of the season. It's just a lot of things that continue to kind of, rear their ugly head. And in a game like Tennessee, Tennessee was just so much better that you can't really, look at, this and this. And I mean, Tennessee had 24 offensive rebounds and 16 second chance points, and they would have won the game without all of those second chance points. They outplayed Arkansas by that much. Against Ole Miss, you really do start nitpicking the three-point defense, the free throw shooting, all these little things, 1% here, 2% there, 3%, it adds up. And I thought it added up to a loss last night to an Ole Miss team that I think is good. I felt like going into the game, they were a tough matchup for Arkansas because of their physicality and what we had seen for the Razorbacks against Tennessee. But I still thought Arkansas would find a way to win that game last night because they were at home, and they didn't. And now they're in the hole at 0-2 in the SEC, one of just five teams in the SEC that have started with two losses. Again, I don't know that I don't know that you're in panic mode yet, but I think you may be looking around for the key to turn the red light on.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I don't think you're pressing the button just yet, but you're looking at it. You got your eyes in the button. You're just kind of like, it's tempting to press it. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of issues with that performance last night. You mentioned the post presence. I think that's kind of the biggest thing that I kind of took away from it. Because I mean, you've got Jonas Adu who, came in second team all SEC last season. He didn't have an attempt from the field. He went 2 of 3 from the free throw line, but he did not take a field goal or shoot a field goal. Frankly, you can't have that from your starting big man. You need, especially in the SEC, you need to establish that inside presence that, is needed in that kind of situation throughout the season. And really through the bigs just in general, I think they got 3 points total from each of their three big guys, and that was just Trevin Brazil with a 1 2-pointer, and then he hit a free throw as well. I know Zvonimir Ivicic was he was limited with an ankle injury again, so he didn't really play all that much, but you still need more production from your big guys. 3 points between three players and you're starting big, not having an attempt from the field.
And there's no physicality. I shouldn't say there's no physicality, but it seems like there's just not a lot of physical play underneath from Arkansas. And some of it may have to do with injuries or coming back from injuries. Like we've said before, Jonas Adu is not quite the Jonas Adu that he was against Tennessee. But I look at the way they played in the post the last two games, and then I see Florida coming in on Saturday, and I think that team averages like 7-2, and that includes their guards. They are huge. Yeah. They are massive.
Yeah.
They played Tennessee the other night, and I was really struck at just how relentless their post players were going after missed shots. And there were plenty of missed shots to go after in that game on both sides. This feels like a real, real mismatch coming up Saturday. And that's what made the Ole Miss game so important. Because when when we looked at this going into the week, we said Arkansas didn't have to win both of them, but they can't lose both of them. And now you've got a Florida team that comes in. They're playing as well as anybody in the country. And now, in order to go 1-1 and salvage a 1-1 week, you got to go beat a team that's probably going to be favored by a pretty good amount coming in here on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that Florida team, you look at, you know, their non-conference schedule, it's not the best, but I mean, they were just beating the hell out of everybody. And then they go to Kentucky to open SEC play, and that, honestly, they lost that game, but that's
they were
me.
Impressive.
Yeah, that sold me on Florida more than any of their previous wins had, just because of how impressive they were. They scored 1.4 points per possession in a loss, which is just insane. And then against Tennessee, they win that game by 30 and hold a really good offensive team to 43 points. So that kind of shows you that they can get it done on both sides of the ball. And I mean, that's a team like, I mean, they can. It's not just like they're going to one guy. I mean, they've got, you know, Walter Clayton, Elijah Martin, Alex Condon, Will Richard. You know, look, all of those guys can give you significant, you know, contributions. So I mean, it's going to be, you know, quite the handful on Saturday. I mean, Florida. I'm not sure that I'm ready to say Florida's a national title contender.
I am.
I'm certainly not opposed to saying it, but
no, I think they are.
And like they certainly look the part, that's for sure. And I mean, that's going to be a tough game for Arkansas, just because of how well Florida is playing, how well they've shown they can shoot the ball. And frankly, I mean, they've shown that they can play defense at a high level against a really good Tennessee team that beat Arkansas by 24 points.
Some stats to know from last night's game: Arkansas 22 of 59 from the floor, 37%, 5 of 23 from three-point range, just 22%. Continues to be an issue with this team. 17 of 24 from the line. A lot of those came in the second half. They were 14 of 17 at the line in the second half. Struggled to get there before halftime and struggled to hit the attempts when they got them. Ole Miss, 23 of 50 from the floor. That's 46%, 9 of 23, 39% from three-point range, 18 of 28 from the free throw line, 64%. But Ole Miss after halftime, 12 of 23 from the floor, 5 of 11 from three-point range. They totally outplayed Arkansas in the second half, really outplayed Arkansas for the last 26 minutes of the game. Arkansas got up 29 to 21, and from that point on, Ole Miss outscored Arkansas by 15 points. So not a great showing from the Razorbacks last night. John Calipari had this to say after the game.
We had our chances again. It's 7-8. We're up 10 at one point. We let him back. Did foul a three-point shooter, do another thing. I'm like, what are we doing? So I've got to do a better job of teaching these guys how to win, how to finish off games. Historically, but again, it's you create a culture and they understand it. Historically, my teams get up 10 at any point. You probably, the number's crazy, but they play to win. You're not just playing to make plays, and you're not playing because you're not playing well. Now you're sad and you give up things defensively. And I'll just say this and I'll answer questions. We're the type of team, we got a good team. But everybody's got to play well. All nine got to give us something. They don't have to play out of their minds, but they can't play poorly. And you can't have three play poorly or four or one not give you anything. And another, we're going to have to play better as a group.
Arkansas's 15 games into the regular season now, 11-4 overall, 0-2 in the SEC. 15 games into a 31-game regular season. So theoretically, at halftime on Saturday, we're going to be halfway through the regular season. At some point, him saying, I've got to teach these guys how to finish the game better, like at what point do we say, okay, well, you're the coach and you've had half the season to do that? Because he's been saying this since game one. Even some of the games that they won early in the season, you know, they'd let a team hang around or somebody'd make a run at the end. And, like, this has been a recurring theme. At some point, you got to say, it may not change this year. Zebra can't change its stripes. A leopard can't change its spots. This may just be who this basketball team is.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned it there. I mean, they have struggled kind of throughout the season. Like, you know, right now, I mean, they've got really just one win above bubble, and that's Michigan, which, yep. I mean, how big is that Michigan game going to be down the stretch? I mean, it kind of depends on how many SEC wins they end up getting. But, I mean, their only other top 100 win per KenPom is Lipscomb. So, I mean, you need to start finding ways to win some of these quality games, or, I mean, you're going to be maybe nervous on Selection Sunday, if you're even getting the right to be nervous on Selection Sunday at all. which, I mean, not, I mean, you don't want to panic early, obviously, but.
But we're halfway through the season. I don't know that we're calling. It's early in SEC play, but we're halfway through the season.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think it is too early to push the panic button. But I also think it's, and I don't mean this toward you, but I hear this a lot of places. I think it's disingenuous to say we're still early in the season.
Yeah.
We're 2 months into the season. Mm-hmm. There may not be 2 months left in the season, or not much more than 2 months left. Mm-hmm. Because right now, I worry about whether this team can make the NCAA tournament. I'm not sure they can.
Yeah.
They've got to be able to, they've got to turn things around in a major way, I think, against a really tough stretch of teams. In order to give themselves a position to be, you know, there in March.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's kind of like you mentioned there. I mean, they've got to find, you know, a way to win some of these tougher games. I mean, luckily for them, they are in the SEC and they're going to have, you know, quad one, quad two opportunities all over the place. The SEC finally has a team outside the top 80. South Carolina dropped down to 81 in KenPom the other night. But they're going to have the opportunities to get these kind of wins, right? Which that's important because, I mean, that's kind of what the committee is probably going to be looking at. You know, is an 18-13 SEC team going to be, you know, more attractive for an at-large bid than, say, a 24-6 Missouri Valley team? Probably, you know, rightly or wrongly. But, I mean, they do need to find a way to win these games. I mean, down the stretch, especially that end of first half, start of second half stretch, they finished the first half on a stretch of 1 of 10 from the field, and then that obviously allowed Ole Miss to come back and tie the game going into the half. And then Ole Miss just kind of continued. I think Ole Miss, from the last media timeout the first half to the first of the second half, I think Ole Miss was 8 of 11 from the field, while Arkansas was like 4 of 12 or something in that stretch. So, I mean, that's just not going to get it done.
There are pockets of play when I watch this team, and I think, you know what, I can see something encouraging there. Second half against Michigan, obviously. Mm-hmm. First 13 minutes last night, I'd probably say that. They had 10 made field goals, 8 assists. Mm-hmm. And then over the rest of the game, they have 12 made field goals and 4 assists. It's like they went from early in the game to passing the ball, sharing the ball, good ball movement, getting good shots, to all of a sudden it turns into, you know, ISO ball, and that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. That, and you heard Calipari say that after the game. He said, that's not us. That's not what this team is. And, you know, so I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this team. I lean toward trusting body language, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this last night. Calipari, when you are around him, it seems he's at ease with mm-hmm. what's going on. Not that it doesn't bother him, because I think it does, but not like it's you know, not like with some coaches where you can see, like, they get into a certain point, it's like, oh man, I really see what I got, and there's no hope for this team, and the offseason can't get here soon enough. I don't see that with him. Mm-hmm. And so with a coach who is as, you know, experienced as he is, and obviously he's won a lot of games, you know, I still think that there is a way that they can, you know, turn things around enough to get to the tournament. I don't think they're going to be a real high seed in the tournament. I don't see them mm-hmm. turning things around to that point. But, you know, we'll see. He had a comment last night, and he said – that collectively they've got to get better. You heard him say that a minute ago. But he also said, I still have faith in this group. Mm-hmm. And so I asked him, I said, if you've got to get better collectively, but you still have faith in the group, what gives you confidence that they're going to be able to turn this thing around? And this is what he had to say.
Because they're all good kids. They're all good kids, and they're all working. Probably get a sub earlier than I'm subbing, because you got guys that are exhausted. They don't like to be taken out, but you're so exhausted. We'll probably start subbing a little bit earlier to give us a break, and you got to count on the guys coming off the bench. And that's why I'm saying to you, you got to have everyone giving you something. You can't have anybody having a nothing day. And it wasn't Jonas not getting balls. It's all the other stuff. Like, okay, you didn't shoot. Well, what else are you going for us? What else is being done here?
Do Thero, 17 points for Arkansas, led him last night. Also had 9 rebounds in 28 minutes. A pretty solid game from him. He did struggle some with fouls. From an offensive standpoint, I think Nelly Davis having 15 points is an encouraging sign for Arkansas, because we've talked at length about, you know, what he's done, or maybe more accurately what he hasn't done to this point in the season. Hit a few threes. He put a ball on the floor, went to the basket.
I thought that was his best moment of the night.
I thought it was good.
He put the ball on the floor and drove
made 4 free throws. Yeah. Got to the free throw line a couple of times. 15 points for him. Davis, Arkansas's second leading scorer. I thought Boogie Flan played a decent game. His shooting was not good at all.
No,
but he did. He did have, you know, other impacts. He did score 14 points. Had 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Didn't turn over the ball in 37 minutes. Turnovers were a problem for them against Tennessee. At Tennessee, they had 6 assists and 15 turnovers last night against Ole Miss. 12 assists and 6 turnovers. So that's a good. That's a good flip in those numbers. Tennessee, we talked about the second chance points and the offensive rebounds. Last night, Ole Miss just 6 offensive boards, 7 second chance points. So obviously some areas of emphasis in practice this week made their way to the floor. But going back to Nelly Davis, this is what John Calipari had to say about him and the game that he played last night.
He's getting better, and he's getting more comfortable. I like the fact that he got to the foul line. He's a really good foul shooter. Well, you can't shoot all threes. After he made some shots, he had some one-handed catches, which took away another opportunity to shoot. Just grab it and then shoot. He went one and kind of fumbled, I think, 2 of them. I said, you can't do that. You're too good a scorer for us. But no, Nelly, he did what it took to get us up 9. So he did some good stuff.
Ole Miss, I was impressed with its ability to respond in this game. I mean, it was like Arkansas would get up 9, Ole Miss would score 4 or 5 in a row. Arkansas would get up 10, or they didn't get up to 10, but 9 was a big – they get up 9 or 8, here comes another 4 or 5 points in a row. It was like every time. And then, you know, there were also moments in the game, like in the second half, you know, really critical moment in the second half. Arkansas gets it to 68-62. They get a defensive stop. They come back down. I think Boogie missed a 3. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss goes down, and the big guy, Malik Dia, hits a flat-footed 3. It was like a,
you know where Malik Dia played last year?
The Jones Center, probably, based on how that shot looked. I mean, he didn't get his heels up 2 inches off the ground. That looks like 40-year-old man basketball at the Jones Center at 1 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. But he's a great player.
Yeah, I was gonna say it was Belmont, Missouri Valley. I got to throw that in there. But
yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, it looked like one of my 3-pointers. Honestly, I mean, he barely got off the ground. But give him credit, he made that shot. He played a great game. 21 points for them. Led Ole Miss in scoring. But there was a response from Ole Miss each time, and I feel like it's kind of like in boxing. You know, you talk about body blows. You get enough of those responses, and a team's eventually just going to kind of roll over. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that's what happened to Arkansas in the second half. Every time they'd make a run, here comes Ole Miss with a response. And finally, you know, there over the last, you know, 2 or 3 minutes of the game, you could tell what was going to happen, mm-hmm. if not before.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned Dia there. He hit that dagger 3 that kind of put it out of reach. I think a little bit over a minute left in the game when that happened. But, yeah, I mean, you look at Ole Miss and, you know, its defense and everything that they've got going on there. The way they switch on defense kind of makes it difficult for a team to kind of, I guess, you know, get on those runs that are needed to kind of get back into the game like Arkansas needed to do. I think there was a moment Adu Thero had a really big and one that kind of got everybody back into it that looked like, you know, maybe that would give them, you know, momentum and kind of maybe swing things a little bit. But, you know, Ole Miss, like you said, kind of punched back and kind of avoided allowing Arkansas to kind of get back into the game. And I think a lot of that comes back down to the defense. Like Ole Miss, the switching they do on defense, you know, makes them hard to scout, hard to prepare for. And I think that really paid dividends against Arkansas last night.
We talked about it on the podcast yesterday. Zvonimir Visic was listed as questionable before the game, and then you update the availability report 90 minutes before the game begins, and on that final availability report, he was listed as available. Ended up only playing 4 minutes, goes scoreless, and I asked John Calipari what was going on with him and whether or not it was an ankle injury.
I was, my hope was to start him this game. And he hurt his ankle 10 minutes into practice. So he didn't practice that day, didn't practice yesterday. Went through the shoot around, couldn't dunk. I mean, so I asked him at halftime, can you give us anything? He said, yeah. And he gave us what he could.
And it goes back to you when you've got a nine-man rotation the way they do, you've got to have contributions from more than just five players, four players, whatever they had last night. And, you know, I mean, give Avisic some credit for, you know, playing through whatever this injury was that he had. But, you know, you're not going to beat a lot of the teams on the roster when you get contributions from four and not much of a contribution from the rest.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it kind of, you know, maybe harkens back to the way the roster was constructed. I know, you know, John Calipari had said that maybe he looks at doing it differently ahead of next season. He said that after the Michigan game, just because of how, you know, beat up they've been and everything along those lines.
That was a concern.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, like you said, like he said, you know, you can't just, you know, get, you know, no shows from, you know, one player, let alone three or four. And I mean, that's what they got against Mississippi. Mississippi, what am I doing? Ole Miss. Technically, yes.
Unless you're the
yes,
AP, they are Mississippi.
Technically Mississippi, but yeah, Ole Miss. and Tennessee as well. And you can't have that, especially in SEC play, where, I mean, every team is going to be able to capitalize on that and be able to punish you whenever you do have a game in which, you know, multiple of your guys aren't, you know, playing up to their standard. You know, they can't have that. And, I mean, frankly, you've seen that in both the SEC games so far.
You can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at wholehogsports.com, most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at wholehogsports.com. Our podcast is available on Apple, Spotify. Search Whole Hog Sports, and we've got a video version on YouTube that we also post on our Facebook and Twitter page. You can find us on all those different platforms by searching Whole Hog Sports. More Arkansas Ole Miss conversation when we come back, but first a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Chris Beard, the Ole Miss coach, had this to say after last night's game.
You know, round two of an 18-round fight is the way we set it up for our team. SEC is good as advertised. So we played well tonight. Special performance by Malik Dia. Really encouraged by Matt Morrell and Dre Davis. They got in foul trouble in the first half and didn't really impact the game. In the second half, they played really well. Probably one of their better 20-minute segments. We took care of the basketball tonight, which is a focal point. I think Arkansas is as good as any team in the country if you turn it over, take bad shots, or get your shot blocked. So we weren't perfect in those three areas, but we were focused on it and did a good job. So good road win for us, round two. It's so early in the league, just trying to stay poised and not get too high or too low. But I'm proud of the players tonight. Team effort.
Am I the only one who gets a Brett Bielema vibe from Chris Beard? Do you get
it? I've never gotten that. But like, I mean, I guess I can see it.
Like when he talks and kind of some of the expression, it gives me a very Brett Bielema feel.
I mean, I've never spoken to Brett Bielema, so
I have a time or two.
Yeah. So I mean, maybe I'm not the most qualified person to speak on Brett Bielema vibes, but
he's got it's a Bielema feel. Whenever I listen to Chris Beard, I don't know why that is.
Okay.
You know, Beard improved to 3-1 in games that count against Arkansas, 4-1. Overall, if you count that exhibition win that Texas had over Arkansas at the Moody Center a few years back, Ole Miss has beaten Arkansas both times since Chris Beard has gone there. They whipped them last year down in Oxford. Texas Tech beat Arkansas in 19 as part of the Big 12 SEC Challenge. That was the year the Red Raiders were the national runner-up to Virginia. And then in 21, Arkansas beat Texas Tech. I think that was actually Beard's last game at Texas Tech in the second round of the NCAA tournament. In Indianapolis. But Beard, for the most part, who was at UALR, who's obviously been a coach who I think has been coveted by, well-funded supporters of this Razorback program, he's had Arkansas's number quite a bit.
Yeah, and I mean, it was rumored that he was going to be at least a candidate for the opening when it came open, and obviously there was a lot of concerns, regarding him and, his previous arrest for domestic violence and everything along those lines. But obviously they end up going with John Calipari, and I don't think many people are complaining about that move, at least to this point. I mean, I'm sure people obviously aren't going to be happy with how things have gone in SEC play so far. But, I mean, Chris Beard, he's been a good coach for a long time. I mean, you saw that when he first started there at Little Rock, and obviously you got Texas Tech to a national title game. So, I mean, his teams are always going to be physical. They're always going to play hard. They're hard to prepare for, as previously mentioned. I mean, the way they switch on defense and everything along those lines, makes it hard to, prepare for, a game like that. But he's a good coach, and he has been for a long time.
I wonder how long a school with no basketball tradition can keep him. Like, is he appreciative of Ole Miss for the opportunity to get back into coaching, or is he biding his time to, wait for one of these big jobs to open up? Because that his name is going to be one of the first ones that's mentioned when, North Carolina, what mm-hmm. happens with, Hubert Davis after this season, those types of jobs.
Yeah, and it's a good question, because obviously, his name does come with, baggage, and wherever he goes,
But he wins.
That he does win, yeah. Wherever he goes, that's going to be, a talking point. It's like, okay, you're willing to look past this. And obviously the charges and everything were dropped, which, you can have your takes and everything along those lines. But he's going to come with baggage wherever he goes.
He wins.
And he does win.
People will forgive a lot of things as long as you can win,
exactly.
games in whatever yeah. sport that you're coaching.
So it is an interesting question, for sure. I mean, he did get that. He signed an extension with Ole Miss, I believe prior to the end of last season, if I'm not mistaken.
But after Musselman left Arkansas.
Yes. Yeah. It was obviously a big talking point. Yeah.
Coincidental timing, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's an interesting question. How appreciative is he for Ole Miss to take, I guess, doesn't feel like the right word, but gamble on him?
Kind of the same question I have with Lane Kiffin, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like how much now Ole Miss football's got more tradition than Ole Miss basketball does, but it's a good time, I think, to be an Ole Miss fan, but I would also be a little bit concerned when those seasons end, mm-hmm. Just based on the based on the popularity and the success of those coaches. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a minute about the atmosphere at Bud Walton Arena. It stinks, quite frankly. When I was in Memphis for the bowl game a couple of weeks ago, I took Jack to a Grizzlies game, Grizzlies-Raptors. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, they're playing the Raptors, so they're not a whole lot to get excited about.
Yeah.
I think Memphis set a franchise record for points in a game that night, 155 mm-hmm. points in regulation against Toronto. So take that for what it's worth.
Toronto going in for the Cooper Flag sweepstakes.
It was the first time that I have been at an NBA game in over 10 years. I think the last time I went to one was when Arkansas played in the last Cotton Bowl. So that would have been December of 11, January of 2012. So it had been a while.
I've never been to an NBA game.
You've never been to one?
I've not, which is a shocking fact. I don't think you're missing much. I would like to go to one.
The atmosphere is there terrible, man. It's the whole game. It's 48 minutes of nothing but players running up and down the floor to beats. I mean, it's like the music is playing the whole time. And I noticed in Memphis, the way they do it is, you know, it's like, and I may sound ignorant, and that's fine. I probably do. But in Memphis, it was more like a song when they were on offense, and it was percussion when they were on defense. I don't know if there's something mental about that, maybe like making it feel like the clock is winding down or something, you know, prematurely for the, you know, for the opposing team. But that's how they did Memphis. Too often, what I think we're seeing, and we're seeing it at Bud Walton Arena too, is not appreciating what makes college atmospheres great, okay? And not being appreciative of the difference between college basketball and NBA. And what I mean by that is, like, there's too much NBA-ification of college basketball on the floor and the off-season movement between teams. And certainly in what I think they're trying to do from an arena, you know, atmosphere standpoint, you talk to people who have been going to Bud Walton Arena for years, and there might be a couple of games in the last 3 or 4 years where they'll say, yeah, that was Duke, for instance, last season. You weren't here yet.
No, I was not.
But that was
I watched it on TV, though.
That was a great atmosphere. It was loud. People were involved into it. But that's Duke. Mm-hmm. Okay? You don't get Duke every year. It's first and only time that Duke has ever come to Bud Walton Arena. Who knows when or if they'll ever do it again. Mm-hmm. What I'm seeing from the, you know, like when I'm at the arena is, like, over the last 3 to 4, maybe 5 years, there's a real deterioration of the atmosphere whenever you don't have that name team come in, Duke or Auburn, when they were number one a couple, 3 years ago, and Arkansas beat them. And you could really see it last night in the Ole Miss game, and I'll give you some examples. It's like second half, I don't know, seven, 8 minutes to go. Arkansas gets it to 6-7 points. You know, I think they'd gotten a big play on, like, a second chance put back, and then they get a defensive stop, and I think maybe they get fouled. And I mean, the crowd is into it. Mm-hmm. The crowd's into it. And then they go to a timeout. And then all of a sudden, I'm being inundated with just loud music. And I know I'm going to sound like an old man here. That's fine. I'm envious of the old men who can turn their hearing aids down. I put in my noise-canceling AirPods during the second half of the game. But it's just like they have not figured out, or maybe they have forgotten, or maybe, you know, whoever's in charge, just they don't have any appreciation for how it used to be. But they're like they don't know how to keep the crowd engaged during those 2-2.5 minutes between when the game stops and the game resumes. Mm-hmm. And so it's loud, and I mean, it's rocking at one point, and then all of a sudden we're listening to, you know, Chattahoochee to a beat from the Temptations, and there's like everybody's just kind of looking around, you know, like you can't hear the guy next to you. Mm-hmm. And so mainly what you're doing is you're just scrolling Twitter during the timeout, just waiting for the game to resume. Mm-hmm. And it's like you've lost all of that excitement that was in the building pre-timeout. And it didn't used to be that way. And I feel like that's how it is in the NBA and college basketball. Somebody in a leadership in college basketball has got to get back to the point that they say, look, this is what made college basketball great, the game day atmospheres. And we've lost that at Bud Walton Arena. You haven't lost it in some places. It's not like that at Allen Fieldhouse. They've still got the bands. They've still got the cheerleaders. You know, they'll pipe in music every now and then. But the difference that I see in Bud Walton and what I see in Allen Fieldhouse is that there, the piped-in music happens a few times a game, whereas at Walton Arena, the band happens a few times a game. You see what I'm saying? It's a total flip. And I think that's why people still have this love and nostalgia and this desire to go see places like Kansas and like Duke and maybe a handful of other places, is because everywhere else where the atmosphere used to be great, it's not great anymore. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was the case last night with this game against Ole Miss. It was really frustrating because I think in older days there would have been just a different feel inside the arena than there was.
Have you ever been to Allen Fieldhouse?
Not during a game.
Oh, it's incredible.
I have been to the museum, but I've never been there for a game. It's certainly something I want to do.
No, I was there.
But I do know a lot of people who are – I've got a lot of family in Kansas who are Jayhawk fans. I like KU basketball, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. I got family in Opie and Emporia and Fort Scott and Overland Park. And so I feel like a pretty good feel for what they do there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean I was a senior in college when I – covered a game there. It was the first time Mizzou and Kansas had played in a decade, and just, I mean, the game day atmosphere is still the best game day atmosphere I've ever experienced. I mean, just incredible.
But it's still like an old school college basketball feel.
Yes, exactly.
It's not like you've gone to the FedEx Forum for Grizzlies Raptors on Tuesday night.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I'm not an expert in, you know, atmospheres and stuff. But you know, I enjoy a good college band, and I think there's ways to.
It doesn't have to be the band, Anthony. I certainly think you can include them more. It's just there's a right way and there is a wrong way to keep the crowd engaged during the timeout. Mm-hmm. And I feel like more often than not, whether it be having a baby race that's sponsored by Huggies or the Whataburger Fry Challenge,
I mean that
all these different things that they do during the timeouts, it just sucks all of the life out of the building.
Oh, that baby race was electric, and it was halftime.
No,
that one baby was like prime Wilt Chamberlain, the way the baby just ran away with that. It was incredible.
They've ruined the atmosphere, but and I think you know, more so than not, they've really hurt the atmosphere of Bud Walton versus what it was when, you know, I started going to games there. And I understand things have to change and things can't say whatever. But and I fear that it's going to be even worse, you know, I mean, because it's coming. This seating overhaul, it's coming. And a renovation to Bud Walton and more premium seats in the building, it's coming. They're going to make this more NBA-like, and we're going to lose what made that arena special in the first place.
And I mean, I've been in Bud Walton, you know, when it is, you know, popping. Just like, I mean, I know Arkansas men's basketball and women's basketball, you know, hasn't exactly had a ton of success since I've moved here. No. But I keep talking about my senior year of college. I promise I'm not just reliving the glory days, but I came down here to cover the Mizzou-Arkansas game when I was a senior, and I mean, I thought Bud Walton was, you know, probably the second or third best environment I was in that year. Now, Arkansas was also just kicking the crap out of that Mizzou team. I think Mizzou scored 44 points total. Arkansas had 47.
It was probably
in the first
a weekend
half.
Game.
Yeah,
weekend games make a difference versus
weekend
games. I mean, there's I can remember a time when Jackson State and Texas Southern on a midweek got people excited. And I understand things change, but it's sad to see the deterioration of the atmosphere in that arena. You can bring Slobberhog back all you want to. That doesn't bring the atmosphere back.
Yeah.
And they've got some atmosphere problems they got to fix in that arena. And I'm not optimistic it's going to happen, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Playoff starts tonight. Notre Dame and Penn State in the Orange Bowl. I don't know what to say about this game. Notre Dame ought to be in a conference. James Franklin got that right yesterday. How about James Franklin for having the, you know what, to say that right in front of Marcus Freeman and all the Notre Dame leadership? Like, look, you know, no offense to you guys, but Notre Dame, everybody ought to be in a conference. Mm-hmm. And I think he's right. And Notre Dame probably ought to be in the Big Ten. That's where they fit, you know, regionally and geographically.
Well, that doesn't matter.
You might say the ACC because that's where they've got all their other sports. And, you know, I'm fine with that too. But it feels like this is going to – where I'm going with all this, it feels like this is going to be one of those, you know, classic Big Ten games where it's, as I said earlier, low scoring and boring.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll leave you snoring.
I will say I think the party that doesn't agree that Notre Dame should be in a conference is probably Notre Dame, just because they get I don't remember what the payout.
Party of one.
Yeah, I don't remember what the payout was, but it was like, you know, each team from a conference earned however much money for their conference for making it to
They've got their exclusive television deal with NBC. That's
exactly.
Lucrative. So I mean, there's all kinds of reasons for them not to want to. Sydney's our resident Notre Dame fan. Sydney, you got any thoughts on this game tonight?
I think it's going to be a close matchup. I think since we have Jeremiah Love back,
St. Louis's own.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not forget.
I think if Jeremiah Love can get the Jets going tonight, I think we should be good.
We being Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Now I have to. I also have to chime in and admit my own biases. My great uncle played for Notre Dame. He was an offensive lineman in the 80s. So I do have a little bit of a soft spot for the Fighting Irish, which I know is probably not a popular opinion anywhere except for South Bend, Indiana. But so it's a family tie. So I think I get at least let off the hook a little bit. I don't know. Maybe you'll yell at me now. But
Notre Dame's a one-point favorite in this game. I feel like how this game's going to go is going to potentially influence how I feel about Ohio State and Texas tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Like, I go into that, like, I've gone into the week thinking, look, Ohio State, they're hot as $2 pistol. I mean, they're good. And I think that they could beat Texas. If I see Penn State from the same conference who played Ohio State fairly well this year, if I see them struggle with Notre Dame, maybe that makes me change a little bit of my perception about what these Big Ten teams can do, Sydney. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it'll come down to the mental toughness, and this is not me speaking as a fan, but as someone who watches a lot of football, Notre Dame just looks more mentally tough. They look more calm on the field than any other team. And I know we lost to Northern Illinois, but we just look calm. We looked calm when we were playing Georgia. We looked calm when we were playing Indiana, and I think that's going to be the way it is tonight.
Mountain West's best, Northern Illinois.
Yeah, how about that? Well, nothing says Mountain West like Lake Michigan. this is interesting. Marcus Freeman, I think there's something about a coach. He's got it. Whatever it is about a coach, there's a calmness about him on the sideline, and he certainly, I think, you know, I really questioned them hiring him a few years ago, and I think he's proven a lot of the doubters wrong. But how about James Franklin? If they win tonight, and I think, you know, part of this has to do with the draw they got, getting to play SMU and getting to play Boise State. But if they win tonight, now all of a sudden you go from the James Franklin can't win the big game to James Franklin is a win away from playing
title,
from winning the national championship. I mean, maybe nobody other, you know, if they win tonight, I don't know that anybody has done better for themselves from a professional standpoint than James Franklin's done.
Yeah, and it just kind of, I guess, goes to show just how quickly a narrative can, I guess, change. You know, you win a couple games, and that's just kind of how it goes.
I remember a Penn State Notre Dame game in the snow in South Bend with Jerome Bettis playing.
Oh, I remember that too.
Early 90s. Like that's one of those games that just sticks with you forever. It's this great, great game between these two teams. Both of them are really good defensively. There's questions tonight about whether Abdul Carter can play for Penn State. He gets to wear Penn State 11, which is a big deal for them. That's what Michael Parsons wore, and that's what all these great linebackers before him have worn too. Mm-hmm. So there's some questions about whether or not Carter, who is probably a first-round draft pick, whether or not he can play, and that certainly could impact this game. 6:30 kickoff on ESPN, and if it's like all the other playoff games, every ESPN channel will have some sort of playoff broadcast going on.
Yeah, taking away from my college basketball viewing.
Penn State and Notre Dame playing in ideal conditions in Miami. You got Texas and Ohio State sliding through the sleet trying to get to Dallas for the Cotton Bowl tomorrow night. We'll talk more about Penn State, Notre Dame, and Texas, Ohio State tomorrow on our podcast. When we come back, Mark Burns, who is the new distance coach for the Arkansas Women's Track Program, joins us to talk about his new job. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. Committed, professional, versatile. If you are looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. We're joined now by Mark Burns. He's the new distance coach for the University of Arkansas Women's Track and Field program, former head coach at four different programs, most recently at Missouri from 2014 to 21. And Mark, you got to hit the ground running, so to speak, no pun intended, but I mean, you got an indoor meet next week. This is an interesting time to be jumping on board here with the track program.
Yeah, it's going to be a quick turnaround, but there's no better way to do it, right? Just get in there and get rolling, and excited to get all the women dialed in and get them cooking.
So tell us a little bit about your story. You were at Missouri. You left after the 21 cross-country season to go work for a treadmill company, and then you wanted to get back into coaching. Take it from there.
Yeah, you know, we hosted the SEC championships in cross-country in 2021 at Missouri. On Gans Creek, the Gans Creek cross country course, which I had the opportunity to develop with the help of the Columbia, Parks and Rec. And So it was kind of a culmination of a big passion project to get that course up and running. And, at the same time, kind of coincided with our oldest son. We have four boys, and, our oldest son was running at an extremely high level, for a high schooler. And I felt at the time that, you know, it was a good time to kind of step back and play a bigger role in his journey. He ended up breaking a couple national records at the high school level. And he's also the fastest junior miler of all time outdoors. And so that was exciting. And, you know, things like taking him over to Belgium to run a race over in Europe, kind of moments that, you know, you'll never get back. And I thought it was really important. And I had an opportunity to go to work for a company called Boost Treadmills, which, as a matter of fact, the University of Arkansas has the most Boost Treadmills of any athletic department in the country. And the track program has three of them. They use them a lot. There's people on them all the time. And it's a great rehab tool, great performance tool. So enjoyed those 3 years with those folks. You know, as I reached out to Coach Johnson and the more I talked to him, the more I realized how much I missed it, how much I wanted to be a part of a program like this, how much I wanted to be a part of young athletes' journeys to help them fulfill all that they have, you know, to dream for, you know, and it, from a track standpoint, from a personal standpoint, an academic standpoint, I really missed that piece of things, and I'm excited to be back.
You know, for all intents and purposes, you're replacing a legend here. I mean, Lance Harder, even though he's been retired as the head coach for a couple of years now, he's still stayed on and even worked in an interim role in the distance the distance events over the last, you know, 6 months or so, a year. What's your relationship like with him? I'm sure you know him. Did that factor at all coming here, knowing him?
Absolutely. You know, Lance and I have known each other for a long time. And I would say over the last 4 or 5 years, have become closer. I consider him a friend. He was a big piece of this decision for me. You know, he really encouraged me to talk to Coach Johnson and take a look at this job. And I know with his support, you know, I realize that goes a long way. And, you know, it's really hard to replace a legend like that. I mean, he's the best, you know, his name's on the track. I'm not trying to replace him. I'm just going to try to be the best coach I can be for the athletes that we have and the future athletes that we have at Arkansas on the distance side. And I'm excited to be about being a part of the entire program and getting to know all the student athletes and being a part of their journeys. I'm just excited to be a part of this great program. And it's certainly the foundation of it is, you know, what Coach Harder has built and now Coach Johnson and his staff have taken it and just continued to build on that tradition with three out of the last four NCAA track titles is incredible. So our friendship has been really, really important to me. My ability to make a smooth transition is going to be a big piece to, you know, our relationship. And he's very supportive. I'm excited to have him around. To be able to pick his brain at times, because you can't just let somebody like that just stand idle beside you. You know, you got to be willing to learn as much as you can from someone like that. And I'm excited to put my own stamp on the distance program. But really, it's about being a part of the journey of the student athletes and really helping them put their stamp on the program.
I can imagine there's a lot of track programs out there with more of an appeal to a coach, more of a draw than Arkansas. Accurate?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I feel like there's some great programs in this collegiate system, some incredible, and especially in the SEC. But there's really, in my opinion, just a couple iconic brands in track and field at the NCAA level. And Arkansas is right there at the top. You know, 51 NCAA titles. There's not many people that can, you know, even claim an eighth of those. You know, this is a unique opportunity, and I'm really, really excited about being part of this team.
Arkansas's won the last two national indoor championships. You know, last year their team was really carried by the sprinters and the hurdlers. They had at least outdoors, they had a great season. You've got some runners who you're going to inherit here who have had, you know, I mean, All America type campaigns. You got Peyton Noe, you've got Sydney Thorvaldsen and Tiana Lastracco. So it seems like there's some pieces there for you to be able to do some nice things here in this indoor season.
Oh yeah, there's some great talent here, and I've been able to meet with about half of the women's distance group earlier this week, and just some outstanding young women, and have really enjoyed learning a little bit more about their stories, their families, their backgrounds. And, you know, really excited to work with them. I mean, Peyton Noe finishing seventh at the NCAA cross country meet. That's big time, especially, you know, as a sophomore. The roof for her is unlimited. You know, Sydney is a star. So excited to kind of pick up where they have left off and get her rolling. Tiana Lastracco, interestingly enough, spent 4 years at Bradley University, where I spent a 4-year stint, well before her time there, but, we had that in common, and we talked about that the other day. And she is a great talent as well. And, there's so many more just in there ready to rock and roll. And then we'll start looking for newcomers in the future here. We'll start getting hot on the recruiting trail. I can't wait to make some phone calls, you know, where you're calling from the University of Arkansas. It opens up a lot of doors out there.
Arkansas, the track teams, they start with the Arkansas Invitational next Friday at Randall Tyson Track Center. That's January 17th. Haven't got a full list of teams coming yet, but we do know Texas is coming. It seems like that always, you know, when you get a – and Texas, for those who don't know, has a great track program too. Edric Florial, a former Razorback, has been coaching there for a while and has really built a strong program there. When you get a team like that coming in for your first race, I wonder, what do you tell your runners? Because there's probably – there's a desire to go out there maybe and go a little bit even harder than you need to go for that first race.
Yeah, for sure. It's you know, that's the beautiful thing about having facilities like we do here and a program like we do here, is that you're going to attract some of the best programs in the country to come in and want to compete in your facility and against you. So it's great that we are able to draw some of the top teams in the country in. And I think the most important thing right now for us is to this early meet is really gives us an opportunity to shake the cobwebs out a little bit, get the spikes back on, kind of get back into racing mode. But it's early, you know, and we have another huge meet coming here, and a Razorback Invitational at the end of the month, and then Tyson, and then getting ready for the SEC meet. So this meet is really a dress rehearsal for the rest of the season. Give everybody a chance to get rolling again, get those jitters going and learn how to deal with them and get on the line and compete. You know, I think one of the things that's really important, is to race and compete. So many times now we're worried about times and chasing marks and trying to hit qualifying times that we forget that how important it is to get in there and learn how to get bumped around 800 meters into a mile, and where do you go? Where do you position yourself? How do you set yourself up for a big change of gears at the end of the race to try to cross the finish line first? And those are the kind of things that we'll focus on in the January 17th meet. Try to get the kids back in action. Just let them go out there and race and have some fun and prepare, lay the groundwork for running some fast times later in the year and then getting ready for championship time.
What do you think next week's going to look like for you? Because it's going to be your first, your first week on the ground here in Fayetteville, and you end it with a meet that doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't. I'm excited about it. I can't wait. Can't wait to have our first official practice on Monday and get them ready to race, talk some race strategies, talk some, preparation and what works for them. And, there's no better way than just diving right in. Right. So we'll get to know each other really fast this way. And the kids will have some great opportunities ahead of themselves real soon.
Mark, you've been gracious with your time. Good luck to you this season, and I'll see you out at the track next Friday.